Good morning. Happy Sunday. It's a little chillier than it was yesterday out there today, so throw a sweatshirt on or a quarter zip. But I think we've reached the wear shorts whenever possible part of the summer. What a beautiful Friday. What a beautiful Saturday. I'm sure most of Minnesota was out enjoying it. But there are a lot of things going on, and we're going to try to tackle many of them today in a way that I think I want to hear from you. You know, the show is called Sunday Take, and we have Morning Take, and we have Lunch Take, and we have all the takes. But today I want your take, 651-461-9226. I want your take on what you like and what you don't like about the legislative session, what you think about the plan to stabilize HCMC, what you think about 1 year of lower tab fees. I want to know what you think about some of the ideas that are out there. It's another day in Minnesota where we have a multifaceted uncertainty on multiple issues, and the legislature will convene midday. They'll go till midnight. And I woke up this morning. I'd been efforting, as we say in the business, some legislative leaders as guests. And between church, which is important, especially with the time they've spent away from their family, and I think just a general fragility of the deal, no legislative leaders were available, which is, you know, it's a little disappointing, but I'll get over it. So that's why we're going with your take, 651-461-9226. What do you like or not like about HCMC deal? They did not extend or raise the sales tax in Hennepin County. What about tab fees? You have 1 year relief on tab fees. Minor relief, let's be clear. There's some property tax relief, but it's $200-$300 a house. And it just feels like in symbolism, they didn't find a way to do more. Now, close observers will say, well, you have a tie in the House, you have a one-seat majority in the Senate, you have a governor on his last term. It's going to be hard to do anything big. But we have to learn to do big things, and that's going to be the subject of the take at the end of the show today, because it dawned on me that there's a lot of big things that we're not doing economically, politically, and that the Minnesota comfort model is a little broken. And I'm not here to be Mr. Doom and Gloom. Look, I had a glorious day yesterday. Quality of life in Minnesota, top notch yesterday. Kids home from college, family dinner, friend's birthday, round of golf, nap outside. Look, it was a banner day yesterday. I'm not saying the whole state is messed up. I'm saying if we want to get back to the exceptionalism, we got to do some stuff. And we didn't do anything specifically, exceptional in the legislative session. Your texts are rolling in. 651-461-9226. I'll take calls, too. We can talk about this all day long. Just got a report that one of the outlying pieces on healthcare, 340B reform, not getting done, or 340B extension, not getting done, really important for rural hospitals. Expect that to be a new crisis. Yesterday's Star Tribune, top headline, even with legislative fix, rural hospitals going bankrupt. You can go to WCCORadio.com and listen to a two-hour special I did last week on the critical condition of Minnesota hospitals. And that's emblematic of where we are. One legislative fix is not going to fix healthcare in the long term for Minnesota. We have out-of-state players moving in. We have workforce challenges. We have funding challenges. Healthcare is expensive, not just for the consumer, but it's expensive for the providers. Call in 651-461-9226. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to tick off what still needs to get done today. Did the sit-in matter? And who's the winner and who's the loser of this legislative session? I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. I feel like there's a buildup here, Josh, with your music.
A little bit, yeah.
I got to deliver. Your texts are rolling in. I'll take your calls as well, 651-461-9226. Don't be afraid to call. Remember when we used to pick up the phone rather than text? Good old phone calls, conversation.
Or you could use the Odyssey voice message system, and I'll play it through my computer here.
There you go. Go to download the Odyssey app, leave us your voice message. We'll respond. All right. So the narrative here that's starting to flow through the text line is, I'll start with, I'm frustrated that the legislature left North Memorial behind. It was all about HCMC, and we have another safety net hospital in crisis with no guaranteed path forward. So this is where, on the take and in the newsletters that you can find at thedailyagenda.com, we try to break down these issues so that you can be a little smarter. And the dynamic between HCMC and North was that the county board really made the push for their proposal to be about HCMC first and North second. But had they had their original plan, which was the tripling and extension of a sales tax, there would have been some money in Hennepin County for North Memorial Medical Center. The legislature would have had to decide on that. But between the Senate and, I think, some degree, the governor and House Republicans, they all decided that they could build in some one-time money and some shifts in payments and costs to HCMC to create a $700 million bucket of money. HCMC will get $205 million in the near term. And then there's a $500 million hospital stabilization fund that should be eligible to all hospitals. But what we're learning, and this is where the language of how the legislation gets written will matter, is that it'll really only qualify for HCMC. And one of the 11th hour issues was that there was news that broke that Sanford would buy North Memorial and put a bunch of capital into it. So, out of state, second time we have an out-of-state player coming in to stabilize our nonprofit hospitals. Now, this is what we've been talking about for a year, 2 years, about how the model in Minnesota just wasn't providing enough stability. We may have a guest from the Minnesota Hospital Association on yet this hour about another issue that just emerged. And so that, some increased reimbursement rates, some cash to rural hospitals was meant to kind of stabilize the system until next session. But the challenge is that in 2027, healthcare providers, nursing homes, care centers, hospitals will all begin to also deal with Medicaid rate cuts, as well as the counties. And so We're going to be having this conversation for the next year, is how stable can we make Minnesota's healthcare system? And the legislature has really not tackled this. I also would say Governor Walz has not tackled this as one of those issues that he really, really wanted to figure out. He always points to Mayo and the leadership of Mayo, world-class healthcare. But the reality is, if you're in the Iron Range, you're in southeastern Minnesota, not a Mayo Clinic, you're in central Minnesota, those systems are financially challenged. You're in the metro. And this is not just a local issue, it's a national issue. And in research we did earlier from Fluence Advisory, we found that healthcare cost and access are higher on the minds of voters than education. Education in Minnesota is now a kind of top six issue, not a top three issue, depending on who you talk to. And I think that begins to show the weight of healthcare on our politics. Text comes in, there were no winners, especially the taxpayers, but that's the way it's been in Minnesota for about 20 years. I think the tab fee property tax relief does feel as though there could have been more done. And this is the challenge, again, as you look ahead to Minnesota's total fiscal picture. It's going to be a challenge. It is going to be a challenge. If you are from 763 last digits 2280, I want to know how you know this. Because these are the things that I tell my kids. Your narrative about buses dropping off people blocks away, they walk into HCMC, that just seems to be a narrative that isn't true. And here's why. This is something I tell my kids, is in this era with photos and videos of everything, I'd like to see the photo and video of what you claim. It's not good enough to just throw it out on this show. Trust me, I'm more than willing to push back. In fact, we haven't even gotten to the Star Tribune story today about inside DHS and more issues that continue to come and come and come. We're going to take a call. This is a little risky. I'm just going to call it out. It's a little risky. You might get cut off if you go off the rails. Who's my caller?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Take.
My name's Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And you can call me Nurse Mary.
Hi, Nurse Mary.
Who retired from a major medical center after working there for over 40 years in a multitude of capacities. And we've been ignoring healthcare in this state for a very long time. We're looking for someone to lead, and everybody passes the ball. It's so bad in southeastern Minnesota, you can't even get access to care, and no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
People should be out in the street screaming. So after I retired from this major medical center, I said, can I come back here for my health care? Yes, as long as you buy a Medicare plan that says you can go anywhere you want. So a recent retiree, I paid the amount for, you know, Medicare from, so you know, the original. And then I paid for the supplement, which is an extra $200. And I can't go wherever I want. I'm like, what? How does that happen? Well, it's called, we don't have any access.
Well, but Mary, you did your broker let you down? Did you not?
No. The major medical centers, they get to determine whether they have capability or not. And they don't. But they get international clients. They have access for them.
Right.
Maybe we need to charge them. I mean, the billionaires, and I held them. I handheld their hands. Maybe these people that put in a large cash deposit. And for these nonprofit centers, it's a quagmire and it's a mess.
Yep.
And very few people from the inside are willing to speak or know the truth.
Well, Mary, what about the governor? Could he have done more?
Yeah, the governor, yeah, he could have done something.
No. Could he have done more? Could he have done something bigger?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay.
He could have done much more.
All right. Then, Mary, I'm going to ask you a question. Were you a highly visible healthcare leader in this community?
Sometimes.
Is this Mary Turner?
Who?
You're not Mary Turner?
I'm not telling you who I am.
No, Mary, you can't come on and be totally anonymous, but I appreciate your call.
Okay, so I want to tell you something.
Okay, last point.
I have the same name as that person, but I'm not that person.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not a regent at the University of Minnesota currently.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair. That's good to clarify. I really appreciate that clarification. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, there you have it from the inside. And that's one of the things that I think is interesting. And I will say, having worked on both sides of labor issues in healthcare, that is part of the quagmire that Mary speaks of. When we come back, I'm hoping to have Rahul Karane. He's president of the Minnesota Hospital Association. He's going to call in quick, and we're going to talk to him about what he knows of the latest at the legislature. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. A little on the fly this morning. As I said, we're looking for your takes about the legislative session, what you think, what's going on in this final day. I'm getting texts from legislative leaders. Two major things still out there. One of them is on healthcare and HCMC. And thank you for joining us, Rahul Karane, president of the Minnesota Hospital Association. He's been on the station, was part of our forum a couple weeks ago. Rahul, thanks for joining me on short notice this morning. What do you see as the latest from the legislature, as you know it, on hospital funding?
Good morning, Blois. Thank you for having me here. And what we are hearing is that there's quite a bit of debate happening regarding how this legislature is going to prevent nonprofit hospitals across Minnesota from closing down. So it's really that pointed. We just did a press conference earlier this week. We had hospitals from across the state standing up on the podium with bipartisan lawmakers from the House talking about the desperate financial state that many of our hospitals are in, not just Hennepin Healthcare, but also other hospitals in the Twin Cities, but as importantly, hospitals across the state of Minnesota, some of whom are plain out of cash. So what we need in the next 15 hours from our lawmakers is to make sure that there are lifelines provided to nonprofit hospitals so that they do not need to keep shutting services and some of them do not blink out of existence. That might just happen, and that's something the lawmakers can absolutely prevent today.
Rahul, when you look at it, they've talked about higher reimbursement rates on medical assistance, Medicaid for hospitals. They've touted, I think a $30 million fund for other hospitals other than HCMC. Are there other issues that they need to decide in the next 15 hours that you really want to emphasize?
Yeah, I would say the most important policy that we're pushing is for lawmakers not to make a $150 million cut to hospitals. This is the program that is called 340B. It's a federal program which provides discounts for drugs to qualifying hospitals. It is a federal program that has existed for decades, and we have seen large for-profit trillion-dollar pharmaceutical companies not following Minnesota law over the last couple of years. So what we are urging lawmakers is to make sure that in Minnesota that doesn't happen. So we have a law on the books, and big pharma companies are refusing to follow it. So what we have talked with the lawmakers about is passing a bill to do away with the 340B sunset, as well as add the attorney general to enforce the law that is already on the books so that large for-profit pharmaceutical companies do not take advantage of Minnesotans and our patients and make sure that hospitals do not shut down. So that is our most important policy. We have bipartisan support in the House. This bill has already passed with bipartisan votes in the Senate. So now we are urging leadership, including Speaker Lisa Demuth, to please let this bill come to the House floor so that the bipartisan vote that we already know exists can make sure this gets to the governor who's going to sign it.
Well, Raul, I know it was short notice, and I really appreciate you calling in, and we'll follow that throughout the day and tomorrow and morning. Take. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Royce.
See you soon. Raul Karani from Minnesota Hospital Association. And I think that gives you an idea of the dynamics behind the scenes. As you know, and as I like to be transparent about, we work on many issues. We do not work for the Minnesota Hospital Association. We do work for the Long-Term Care Imperative, which is nursing homes and assisted living. They, too, are working behind the scenes at the last minute to find out what the implications of some of this healthcare stuff are, is, and where it goes. And I remind you that this isn't even a budget year. I remind you that last year they set the budget. And so imagine being told, here's what's going to happen for the next 2 years, and then having to fight for it each year for an economic sustainability in your business based on regulatory changes, mandates, et cetera. This healthcare issue is not going away. We will cover it here on Sunday Take. I expect much more specialized programming throughout the year. It will be a topic of every debate we do, every conversation we have, and we'll make sure it's there. Your texts are flying in, 651-461-9226. Still willing to take some more calls here to try to figure out what else is on your mind. Here's one text. Has HCMC shared how much unreimbursed care has increased over the last few years, particularly since Minneapolis became a sanctuary city? Seems elections and policies have implications, and maybe HCMC's struggles are in part linked. You know, I think this is where the mind of our listener, the mind of the narrative, the feed of your algorithm gives a sense that there's one reason we're in some of these quagmires or dilemmas. There's not just one thing. And I think that's what we should carry as a theme throughout this pivot we're going to make to the future of Minnesota through the conversations, debates, and discussions about where Minnesota's going. Because that's ultimately where we start tomorrow. Where are we going? We have an open governor's race. 2 weeks, I'll be at probably the Republican state convention. They have more competitive endorsement fights, more interesting endorsement fights. So I think I'm going to be there, and we'll have a perspective of what is the future. And it's my dedication to you to say, what's your vision for Minnesota to these candidates, rather than how do you feel about this issue? Because I think that we are at a place where we have to set a marker in the future of what kind of state we want to be. And there's not just one piece. So let's break down the HCMC issue. Yes, there is unreimbursed care. That is one factor. There is higher wages. There is lower reimbursed care. There is a law in Minnesota that says now, and this has not been talked about out loud, that if you have medical debt, it can't go on your credit report, which we could debate all day long, but it's meant that some people who could pay aren't paying. And so collections in these medical centers are going up, because if it's not going to hit your credit report, why pay the bill? These are the larger societal dynamics of responsibility. And look, I've heard stories. I've heard horror stories about healthcare bankrupting people. It should never bankrupt somebody to save somebody's life. But it should be more transparent. Remember when we were going to have a price list? The very name of healthcare reform was the Affordable Care Act. And here we are 16 years later, 15 years later, and nothing. It's not more affordable. It's more complicated. So it didn't solve anything. And that's, again, my interest is not debating all the past or all the issues. It's how do we get out of this? Texter sends in a great reminder. Mayo Clinic model is not based on Medicaid patients or Medicare. You're right. That's real. Another text coming in about Grand Casino Arena. Why? We can tackle that after the next break. But yeah, no, fair questions. Guess what? The Wild, the Wolves. There's many, many more arena discussions coming in the next couple of weeks, months, years. And that's always one of those shiny objects that we all get so fired up about. 651-461-9226. There's probably time for a couple calls. What do you think? What's your take on the legislative session? What's your take on the mood of Minnesota? Last week's chamber poll, their economic imperative report this week, and more, says the future of Minnesota is a little uncertain. And what are we going to do about that? I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on Sunday Take. Really appreciate your calls, texts. 651-461-9226. We got a couple of callers on the line. Mark from Minneapolis, you're first. What's your take on how the legislature's done this year with 15, 16 hours left in the session?
Well, good morning, Blaise. Not a real good take on it. I think, you know, as usual, there's a lot of political theater at the end of the session. I think the whole sit-in thing is kind of a joke when you look at all of the important decisions, as you were referring to HCMC and rural hospitals, et cetera. I honestly have a real concern about the future of the state as a whole. I think, you know, I know it's a lot of hyperbole from the Republican side. Yep. By the way, I am a registered Democrat. But I think Republicans have very valid points when it comes to the taxation and stuff. You know, the budget, et cetera, has just gone crazy. I don't really think people have a good grasp of all the programs and things that were put into place in 23, that right. So much of that was just seed money. Mm-hmm. And in order to keep those programs going, taxes will have to increase in the billions. And, you know, I quite frankly, that's a big reason why Walls had proposed taxing all the services. Because they knew when they put these programs in place, they didn't have the money
right.
coming in the future. So it's only tax increase. And this type of stuff is honestly, you know, driving some people away. I know it's not in hordes. It isn't like all of a sudden 50,000 people left the state yesterday.
Nope.
But it does come gradual. And what I'm not seeing is a lot of businesses coming in.
Right.
Or startups and that type of thing. I've driven across the country in the last year, and I see that in other states. I mean, they're building big factories and things like that.
Right.
None of that is happening here. None of it.
Mark, I appreciate that perspective because it's true. I travel a lot too. It's the investment that we're really missing out on there. And I'll talk about a chamber report that came out Friday that really talks about that as well.
Yep. As far as the sit-in and stuff, just again, you know, honestly, I have a real distaste for that because just 3 short years ago, Democrats had the prime opportunity. They could have passed that legislation yep. and banning guns, et cetera, and they didn't. So now 3 years later, they want to just point the finger at Republicans. All this is political theater for a setup for the 26 elections.
Mark, appreciate the call so much. And Mark was a Democrat, or self-proclaimed. So there we go. Next caller, Jerry from Shoreview, my hometown. Jerry, I don't know if you knew that I was born and raised in Shoreview.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah. Proud Shoreview native.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm a proud resident. I don't have a lot to say about the legislature just because I haven't really kept up on it, but Medicare really doesn't pay enough. And that's a lot of the problem for hospitals and clinics. I know a person who just closed her clinic because most of her patients happen to be low income, and Medicare just doesn't pay enough. So she eventually decided to, you know, quit, sell. And outstate, I think people that have Medicare Advantage, Medicare Advantage plans, they can choose which hospitals they want to cover. And therefore, they're in trouble, you know. If you have a Medigap insurance, why, you're covered totally by Medicare, so everybody's included there. So I don't think that's a problem in the Twin Cities, but outstate it certainly is. So
got it.
That's what I have to say.
Awesome. So, appreciate the call, Jerry. Really appreciate your calls and your text coming in here. Why did it take the Senate 2 hours to pass the permanent school land trust amendment when it took the House unanimously in 30 seconds? It was the easiest vote of the session. What the texter's referring to is a change in the Constitution that will be on the ballot this fall. And it changes the way in which the school land trust fund, which deals with the funds collected on property taxes that go to schools. There's a fund that the state is allowed to take the interest out of. But as things have changed, as economics have gotten better, that fund is overfunded, essentially. And so the proposed change would amend the Constitution to allow 4.5% of the fund's 3-year rolling average value to be distributed instead of the current just interest and dividend formula, which is meant that, you know, we're not maximizing that fund. So that constitutional amendment will be on the ballot. We had a Sunday take about that a few weeks back. So if you go to WCCRadio.com under podcast, go to Sunday Take. It's the education one we did, I think, about 5 or 6 weeks ago. You can listen to that. We had Senator Mary Kunish on to talk about that, and Representative Spencer Igo on to talk about that. So bipartisan. And this was part of the way we started the session on Sunday Take, which was, where are the places where people are working together to tackle bigger issues? We were the first show that had the HCMC solution, the proposed solution. It's not what ended up. We had the education piece. We've been talking about healthcare quite a bit. Housing was another key topic that we just have to figure out. The idea that we do not have enough housing stock, it costs more to build houses in Minnesota than Wisconsin, is a major concern that we should be on top of. A registered Democrat admits that his party created an unsustainable mess. All candidates, including Amy Klobuchar, must, all caps, address specifically how they plan to reverse this horrific, I like all your adjectives, out-migration across all age groups. So if you're interested in digging deeper into some of the economic headwinds of the state and trends of the state, thedailyagenda.com, on Friday's Lunch Take, we link to and share the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce's Economic Imperative Report that came out just Friday. Our GDP in Minnesota is slower than our peer states. Our competitiveness is lower. I'm not trying to be alarmist here. I am only saying, as a native who's built businesses here, raised kids here, enjoyed our quality of life, and our quality of life is because of our economics. The economics here worked for a long time in many ways, and they're just not working as well. So there you go. Thanks for that long text, 9490. It's going to be the same old thing when Klobuchar wins the election, the Democratic way, give away money, get more votes. It's what got us into trouble to begin with. Tom in Stillwater. Tom, thanks for your text. I will take, have to take, but will also speak to the idea that we need to ask tough questions throughout this election. And all the data I see, and remember, I'm a signal guy, data, 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 not noise, noise, noise. The signals are strong that even though Trump's unpopular, we have to figure out how to have a balanced conversation about the future of Minnesota without getting caught in the drama or the predictability that, oh, Democrats are going to have a great year. I will bring you back to 2006. President George Bush, not popular. Democrats have a great year in Minnesota, but Tim Pawlenty wins his second term as governor. There's never just one thing. There's multiple pieces of dynamic. But that's the election that I think this one feels the most like. Thanks for listening this week. This week's take is really lead, follow, or get the H out of the way. That's something that I've been told, I've felt, I've espoused for years. And I want to look at our legislative leaders. And on one issue or two issues, you may not think that they're leading. But they've led under some pretty challenging circumstances. Senate Majority Erin Murphy said that she thinks the process needs to be more transparent. And the irony is that she can make it more transparent. And I think that there's a sense that maybe the behind closed doors, the backroom deals, are not serving people well anymore. We have some big things to do in this state. We have some heavy lifting to do. I hope our next batch of leaders are up for that in the legislature and in running for governor. We'll, of course, be back next week. It'll be Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to Vanita at 6:20 tomorrow and through Thursday. I have no idea what Sunday Take is next week, but I hope you guys have a great week. Stay dry out there the next couple days. Enjoy spring. Follow all of our stuff at thedailyagenda.com. Corzo's up next. The playoffs.
Actually, it's Collar today.
Collar.
Collar's in for Corzo.
Matthew Collar in. That's good because we should start talking about the Vikings.
And Lynx.
And the Lynx.
Sloane up on the show, too.
Sloane, Collar, the couple. Mm-hmm. They're spending their Sunday morning with you. That's good. The Lynx and the Vikings may be our only hope, but that's because we're from Minnesota. Until next week, that's the Sunday Take.